a request for the last time, Chairperson.
Okay.
To ask the CFO to talk about this matter. Can I request?
Let it be that. I've been lobbied to agree to that. So
well,
I
you were. Please, over to you, CFO. And there is Mr. Van Vrede. I had a caucus with them and I said, you need to help me because this issue cannot be put back on a back burner. We need to talk about it. Because when we come for the quarterly report, it is going to be asked again. We have to talk about it. So
become worried when you give somebody power and that person continues to come back. I'll take this power because I said every one of your team that you think is an expert in this must convince us now.
And I'll start with Mr. Van Vrede, then the money part, I'll give it over to the CFO. Mm-hmm. Mr. Van Vrede.
Thanks, Chairperson, DG. Chair, maybe just to reflect on a higher line level on environments. We do quite a lot of planning in the department, and we do our best to get our plans as closely, as accurate as they can be. But unfortunately, getting your plans 100% accurate isn't something in the real world. A lot of things change on the ground, and so we do deviate sometimes from our plans, and that is in this. The PFMA acknowledges that the 8% that's there in the PFMA it's not that we're planning to deviate by 8% every year, but even when the PFMA was put together by Parliament, when they enacted that act, they acknowledged that that no plan is perfect, and that there will always be some deviation to the plan, and hence they gave accounting officers that ability to maneuver a little bit, not the whole budget, just a small amount of the budget, which they then felt 8% was the reasonable amount to be able to maneuver with without having to come back to Parliament for approval. Mm-hmm. So if you go over 8%, you have to come back to Parliament for approval. But nevertheless, we do accept that this portfolio committee wants to hold us to a higher standard, and we continuously strive to do that. Just to mention, I think our biggest deviation in this year was about 2.8%, just under 3%. So we're not utilizing the full 8% that is allowed. We're trying to cut back every year, doing less vitamins. But I think it also, just to be fair, there has to be some space because no plan is 100% perfect on that.
All we are saying is that if you plan a marriage and you've got a neighbor that might come and assist in that wedding, you must include the neighbor that there will be a wedding so that they get the mere fact that you want to do a buyout, you do it and then you come when we ask questions, you explain. It means I won't go to that wedding because earlier on, you could have invited me for preparations. Can we go to the CFO? I could close or take money terms. But if we are satisfied with this response, let's go ahead. Siswata, do you want to say anything, Madame?
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Good afternoon. Members of Parliament and the officials from the department. Okay. I think I'll touch a number of areas. We've been trying to say the way we are doing our work is changing on a yearly basis. But what we must acknowledge is that we've just received a report from the committee that was doing the review of the white paper on social development. And I think that is going to assist all of us, because we don't have social development acts. Now we have a team again that is looking into the Social Development Act, and will cover areas that are not there in our work. But one other important thing is that we haven't yet met the Fiscal Commission. There are many other good things that are said by the Fiscal Commission concerning social development. And maybe we should read the whole report and also the issues of SMART are going to be covered by the Act, because the reason Health Department, Education Department are able to have a structure, organogram, it's because they have acts that empower them to ensure that the work that we are doing or they are doing is closely linked to their programs. Now, secondly, one other thing that we have learned to do in the social development, which is not easy, is to integrate our programs. When we go to an area, it's social development, it's SASA, it's NTA. And then social development deals with social facilitation and respond to the challenges that are facing communities in that particular area. And NDA focuses on strengthening community development through training co-ops and those that want to have community gardens. And that is a resource to that community. And that is why you won't see us going as individuals to Imbizos. But that criteria in itself increases the number of people that have to go to those programs. And we don't go to areas a day before programs. We stay for 2 weeks, engage with communities, community facilitation, have an imbizo, and then have people that are going to try and ensure that the program continues when we leave. It's not an easy exercise, but this has worked our work compact and productive. Right now, we will be going through the, we are in the social development month. And we are not dealing, for instance, when it's Older Persons Day, we don't deal with older persons only. We integrate all vulnerable groups in our program. And that is why that has made a plus in our work. And to be honest with you, I don't think it's wrong for us to say we have overachieved. What becomes my problem on overachievements is that we have to increase our targets, because it means that our targets are not equal to our plans, and therefore they have to be increased. But I also want to say that we had a 2 billion cut off in our budget, and therefore it's not going to be easy. Right now we are being asked to relook again into our budgets because of the economic situation. The measurement of our work, also the, I don't want to be long, because outcome 13 is led by social development, and we've been able to report on the work that we are doing. And our work is mostly focusing on human development. And if we say we can't measure our work, and then how do we have children that start from zero in our program up to 18? I think we need to be able to find a proper contextualization of the issues we want to talk to. We have nothing against people that critique us, because that builds the department and it makes it stronger. But if now we have to be micromanaged, be told that you can't use this language, I find that a very difficult chairperson. The NPOs have been doing a lot of work. Actually, the committee that is supposed to be that deals with NPOs that have not accounted is not doing its work, because we ask them to wait. And then we had road shows where we train NPOs. We assist them to write reports, because we don't want them to suffer, because they are, most of them are at a local level. They are not like bigger ones who have auditors, who have secretaries that are skilled, who have graduates. It's community people that are committed to doing the work on at a community level. And I thought that was a compliance. Now, Mama ngiyavuma ngendaba ye-social media. Bayazi lana e-department ukuthi okay, ku-right ukuvela e-TV. But njalo ngihlale ngithi yey, asiyokhuluma na 67 stations ezikuma-communities. Khona abantu bethu bezozi ukuthi yini eyenziwayo. Khona bezoba nethuba lokubuza imibuzo uma ngabe befuna ukubuza imibuzo. So ngiyavumelana kakhulu naloku okushiwoyo. Kodwa enye into esinayo, noma ubani-ke angasibiza ukuthi siye lapho, ibizwa ukuthi u-iCrop. And okumnandi ukuthi isikhathi esiningi angibi bikho ku-iCrop in case that abantu bacabanga ukuthi ngizohamba ngisebenzela ekhaya. Kuyahanjwa, kwenziwa u-door to door, kutholakale kwezinye iy'ndawo ukuthi ingane ayibhalisanga. Iy'ngane ey'ningi iqala ukubhalisa zino-2 years. Kutholakale kukhona i-program eke yenziwa u-Deputy Minister e-North West esenze sathuka kakhulu. La umntwana omncane onengane wayebize omama abancane ney'ngane zabo. Umntwana omncane onengane una-10 years, owesibili una-12 years, uney'ngane eziwu-2. Bese kuba khona kwenye area kunentombazane ena-26 years, inabantwana abawu-9. And angeke ufike lapho bezoyahamba uphinde ungabuyi. Kusho ukuthi kunenkinga khona. And uyambona lona onabantwana about 9 or 26. Before ungene kwakhe ukuthuka huti. Uhambe ubuyubuyele uyomncenga. Uhambe ubuyubuyele uyomncenga. And therefore siya try and siyazi ukuthi kwesinye isikhathi angeke senze izinto ngendlela efanelekile. And ngiyafuna ukusho ukuthi much as kokunye sihamba and senza sure ukuthi uma ngabe sihamba everyone is represented. Ngiyavuma lapho. Kodwa futhi uministry uma ungahambi yo-analyze i-budget yethu. For instance, u-deputy minister, abasebenzi bakhe ba 3 times extra kunabasebenzi baka-deputy minister. Why? Ngoba une-challenge. And akuthandi ukuloku siphinda le nto lana because it's like akanaso i-space yet. And i-office lakhe li-specialized. And ekhaya kwakhe ku-specialized. And kufanele kube yithina esikhokhela lezo zinto. So it's not just ukuhamba kodwa. Kunamanye ama-program. Kodwa futhi enye into engabhalwa uma ngabe senza i-program. Izinto ey'fana ne-rent namanzi. Zikhona nazo. Siyasebenza ziyenziwa. Angifuni ukubuyela entweni exabanise uMagwaza no Chairperson. Chairperson, environment yethu ayikho ngaphezu kwa 1%. Angifuni ukuthi a certain amount is allowed because kuzoba ingathi senza ngamabomu. But environment yethu ayifiki even ku 3%. So loko futhi kuyakhombisa ukuthi uyenziwa umsebenzi. And also I'm not going to talk about 99% versus 66%. Because once you do your work, you can't write in the report that the remaining part is in progress. Into eyenzekayo nje is that we put a red in areas that have not been completed. So I thought Chairperson, I should raise these issues. I've spoken about ILENT, Fiscal Commission. For instance, we have a clean audit in terms of the work that we have submitted.
Sorry, Honorable Minister. And besisakhuluma ngamaphuzu nje amathathu kuphela. We still have a long way to go.
Okay.
Because we have not dealt with the bulk of the report.
Okay.
And secondly, to put that part on perspective, the issue of firemen. Funa ukukhuluma iqiniso la nje. Esikhuluma ngako Minister, masibheke ku page 14. Beku page 14 nje sifunde ukuthi yini lesikhuluma ngayo. Not that you can't do firemen. And secondly, let me explain it clearly. Let's read there. An amount of that million was shifted to program 1 to fund the increased expenditure expenditure levels in ministry that resulted from staffing requirements. Let's go further. An amount of 23.75 million was shifted from program 3. Let's go further. An amount of that amount was shifted from program 3. So our advice and our recommendation was to say it does appear that program 3 didn't require that was awarded to them. Hence, many firemen were actually targeting program 3. That I made an example. I want Utabane to remember. I said, when we pass budget as the portfolio committee, what we say, you said this bottle is 100 rand, but then you go. We are not expecting you to take 50% of this bottle and go to another bottle. That's where we then came to the issue of planning. That if the trend shows that you didn't need this amount, it can't go on for, because this is being raised by Auditor General. You can't then be able to continue for 4 years knowing that each time I do this fireman. Rather, when you plan, you go direct and put this money where it is usually transferred to. That's all what we are talking about. But then the answer that made us stubborn was the fact that you then claim that you have this right of firemen. And we think we're not disputing your right, but it's the how implementation is done. And I think that's where this whole issue was coming from. But let me clarify also the issue of percentages. Because I don't usually use percentages. This is something I could get in a percent. That's a manila. But what is important that we're talking about was the fact that you say, Mashami, you have achieved 67% of your target. But on the other side, when you account the expenditure, you say you spent almost. Then how was your alignment? If 67% is at 67% is achieved, then the amount that was to do 100% has been finished without being taken via to another project. Though, but I don't think this needs a little time, because it doesn't need little time, but it does make sense when you say I was going to do 200 injections, and then I've done only 100. And then when you go to the expenditure, you say the whole amount that was meant for the 200 has been finished. Then there needs to be an explanation what happened to the rest. That's how we want you to account, and we've got a duty to make you account. And we know it's a healthy relationship that we are not going to always agree. But when we do that, we must convince each other that this is how things have taken place. So I'm saying then we were still expecting hands to come. Amalungu yini engakhulumi namhlanje, okay, Mama Sfondi.
Issue of concern that has been raised by the Auditor General. We can't just sit in a piece while sing a kind of social piece while, because what is also alarming is this environment. You take from your core business to administration. That also becomes a problem itself, because one would assume that you take from somewhere to your core business, because the core business is short. I take him from a core business and then put into to administration. So we will raise it. We will criticize on it, Chairperson, because it's a matter that needs to to e department e son. The auditor general has stressed that for 4 years you vary on a program A1. Utata apa usakule. Even when you go further, chairperson, on the per economic classification, everything that is shifted, it goes to program one, traveling and accommodation expenditure related to all those outreach programs and everything. But then it comes back kwinto othethangayo ukuthi i-proper planning, which is a problem. I want to come also to the response that was given, that I think is a response that the environment, as long as it's in 8%, it's acceptable. To me, it's just a mischief, Chairperson, because even if it's acceptable, uzayenza because usazuba ilapha ku 8%, you won't exceed, because if it's it's over 8%, you have to go to another structure to request that. That answer rate is very mischievous. Ngoba ibonisa into yokuthi you'll always do it as long as it's within that 8%. And into esithetha ngayo, sithetha into yokuthi it is not good. If you look at the, I think, page 3 of the Auditor General report, where they are outlining the reputation promise, the role of the Auditor General South Africa in the DR processes, I like the sentence that says, to enable oversight to focus on areas that lead to good governance. Therefore, it's our duty also as a portfolio committee that if something we can see that it's not leading to good governance, we have to question that and we have to criticize on it. And when we criticize, we're not criticizing because Cecilia, but we want the betterment of the accounting standards. We want the department to improve the accounting standards. Yes, we are happy about the impact that might be happening far on the ground. But at the same time, the impact that you are doing on the ground should not be ungahambi ngaphandle kwe legislative processes. Yes, the impact, but at the same time, respect the legislative processes. Thank you, Chair.
Ngaphandle kwesuthu ngoba ngizuzu nti mischievous. What does it mean? No, we can't accept that. We can't. We are adults and we need to be treated like adults. No.
Honorable Wilson, can I request that we don't go on this dialogue? We are going to somehow deteriorate. Mama Wilson? Oh, you are coming with a totally new...
Chairperson, I respect you. I respect you a lot. But we need to be respected. We are also human beings. I don't think it's fair for us to be told that we are mischievous. I don't think so.
I didn't say they are mischievous. I said it's mischievous to say this. You can go to Hansard and listen.
How I wish because we haven't done a lot of work in this work, we haven't done much. I request that we try and leave this matter. We'll sort out Madlamini later on. Let's talk later. Yes. Honorable Wilson, I don't know whether I'm closing you out. So, no, she had spoken. She had had her hand up. Let me allow her if she is participating in the same issue or something new. Then I'll come to you. Can I do that?
When it comes to a committee meeting,
it's an extension of Parliament. And I think when it comes to that word which mischievous, let us rather withdraw it. Because it's almost like casting aspersions. Let it rather be withdrawn. And then we can continue, go to the next speaker.
I sometimes wish things would be done the other way around. Comrade Spongile, Honorable Spongile, are you able to withdraw?
I thought you said it, that would really don't need a dialogue, and I also don't want to get into a dialogue with the people.
Can I request you that you withdraw so that after now we're able to discuss, because there are fundamentals that we need to talk about, and I was actually avoiding to a right or a wrong in this manner in the in favor of what we're supposed to do, which is a bigger picture. I'm not undermining that it's not a picture, but how I wish it wouldn't spoil the process, because we've got limited time to deal with this matter. And I don't think we will do justice to ourselves to not to be doing it amicably, because I think Are you agreeing with us that you withdraw? Please do.
Listen, I think, like I said, I don't really want to get into a dialogue. Please.
Oh, maybe, can I appeal to Honorable Minister? Can I make an appeal to you? Can I then go to the next speaker, Honorable Wilson?
Thank you, Chair. I'm actually supporting what my colleague just in front of me here was saying. And I want to say that in actual fact, the comment on the environment and the 8% was misleading. And we must be very cautious when you are dealing with a budget of hundreds of billions of rands. 8% is a huge amount in environment. It's a monumentally huge amount of money. And it's easy to say up to 8%. Well, up to 8% is millions and millions and millions and millions. We must just be cautious. The statement was made too lightly, and we must be advised when millions and millions and millions and millions of rands are being taken from the core business to somewhere else at the cost of the vulnerable and the poor on the ground. Thank you.
I think the what went wrong here was the fact that people went to percentages. When percentages were not the core discussion around this matter. The issue here was not percentage. I think in Mindimoshi, because we were actually talking about environment and how it can be done. But now when it comes to issues of percentage, it really complicates the entire matter. And it has brought us to a serious deadlock, which I didn't want to, because the issue here was in principle. It's a principle that says, in fact, the earlier response was that you have been advised by cabinet to avoid environment as much as possible. That was the spirit, but I didn't expect that this issue of percentages, because I think it's gonna take us a very long way and spoil the good relationship that we were trying to have during this discussion. And Jinji, can you help us?
Chair, thank you so much for the time again. I I see that this issue is very emotive, like I said earlier on. I really thought that Mr. Van Vreede had acknowledged that the advice that we're being given by the committee that says that you want us to strive to be as close as possible to the right planning and all this. He acknowledged that, but then he went further and explained, said that we try to be as close as possible. And I did earlier on try to explain to the committee that really we do not plan to do the development when we start at the beginning. We don't do that. But it so happened that because we had planned that money in the program 3 for the appeals and the legal issues, and the money has been there, then when we ran short of money, then we resorted to the planning. I think the chairperson put it nicely and said that if you are planning for the wedding and you want the neighbor to be part and parcel of is going to do something on this, and then the neighbor needs to be involved in that issue of planning, which Mr. Van Vreede acknowledged that we will try and endeavor that we will come to the committee and talk to the committee about this if there is anything that we'll do that is not in line with the issue of the budget, irrespective that the PFMA gives us that leeway of doing that. Because this committee is saying that this is what we want to see you doing. And we acknowledge that, and we are saying that, we are requesting from my side and my team that please let's pass on this. We will endeavor that next year this is not going to be repeated, because the CFO has said that now we are going to be shifting this money to where it's usually shifted during the year, so that we avoid this kind of a situation where this thing is perpetually happens over and over and over again. I would request that the committee allow us to carry on with answering other questions, and the issue of environment that we try to be as close as possible to the budget that we have asked for at the beginning of the year.
I'm happy with that arrangement. We have to do this work. Can we then continue? Because I think we have sorted this matter out, and it's a closed matter, because there's no one that says we will continue firing in any way. No. I think that earlier on a arrangement of saying when matters arise, we will then. So can we get the issue, is it bad that the minister left? Because there's this matter of being raised by Auditor General on the timelines between the vacancy being available and the filling in of a critical vacancy, that is the CEO or yourself or DG or DDG, because they are strategists, those people. It is not good enough to have this post open for a very long time. But we thought the minister would, but you can still try and assist us. How are we going to avoid it?
I'm not too sure that the right
person. Any member, because we're
question.
Talking about principles,
yeah,
of how are we going to be able to live, because it's a matter also that AG has raised, particularly on, is it NDA? Who at some stage didn't have a CEO, is it NDA? A CEO as well as a CFO as well as a board. Yet DSG gave them the budget, despite that their situation was in a dire need for ensuring that you give funds where you think the management is ready. But that's a question that you will respond. Mama Wilson?
Sorry, Chair, I just wanted to reiterate that it was the NDA, and perhaps the acting CEO can give us some advice on this, because that was actually a very disturbing part of the AG's report. Thank you.
Honorable Whip?
Chairperson, can't we leave that part when it comes to the NDA's report? And let us just stick, because there are certain questions we still need to ask this department. Because the thing is, there are questions I have that I would like to ask this department. Then when we come to NDA, then we take them on. All right, thank you. Yes, thanks a lot. It's also on vacancies. The department said in this financial year that you're going to decrease or reduce your vacancies to 10%. But according to your annual report, you are on 16%. So I think the department need to speak to us about it. And then the department has the organogram within the annual report. There are places within the annual report where you have your HR matters. But it would have been much more better if we could see the way you normally say within the organogram that these posts are filled. And I was surprised to see that you still have, there are additional posts to your staff establishment. And how are you going to fit in those additional, because there's additional like in education to the post establishment. They speak about it in the HR portion. Then the dormant accounts, it's coming on for 4 years or longer because it's within the legacy report of social development. The ones of disaster relief, refugee relief, etc. And I think there were recommendations, even from the AG side, to have this legislation repealed. But it's a fourth year now, and you're still repealing. So I think it's going to be important for us to know what is happening there. Then, Mama Kappa, I so much want to go to Program 3, but let me stay away from Program 3, please. When it comes to Program 4.
A minute. You know, we said we'll start with DSD because DSD overlaps to the others. That's the reason why I was saying DSD gave funds to an organization that did not have a full complement. I was not necessarily raising the full complement, but I was also saying it because it touches on DSD. I'm happy now you are quoting that as well. So you can ask that question if this is Program 3.
I would like to ask
Okay,
just my last one. The AGs and FFC spoke about, like, we bring up your targets each time. How the person measure targets? Because I went to one of your programs just to check whether I'm measuring correctly. But then I was 3 targets short. You know, it didn't come to the same as social development. Then when it comes to Program 4, you have this one. In your APP, this target is not in when it comes to, I think it's ECD, HR strategy or something. HR something. What's that? The facilitation of the ECD HR plan was not included in your APP. But when it comes to your annual report, you are including it. It's not in your APP, but I see it within your annual report. So I think you need to account to us. I'll just leave it as such. Thank you.
Members? Okay, you are allowed to that. Emma Wilson?
Thank you, Chair. I only have one question on the report. The rest of my questions are with regards to the financials, and I would like to go through the annual report and discuss some of the figures there. So I don't know if I miss, and I have quite a few questions there. So let me ask the question on the report, if I may then go back later and deal with the financials themselves, please, Chair, if that is in order. Happy, Chair?
Yes, you can continue. We'll select how we answer questions. Because
okay.
We can't continue as saying we'll deal with financials alone, because they are linked to the program. So if you ask a question, then you will target whatever.
Yeah, I with regards to the annual report itself, Chairperson, I have done specific questions on specific pages. But in terms of the report that was presented to us this morning, at this stage, I'm only going to ask one question there, and that is on slide 52, under administration. My concern there is at the bottom of the page on the economic classification. Compensation of employees is 169,652, and the total budget is 30503. We're talking about 16% of vacancies, which is high, and already the employees' budget is well exceeds 50% of the administration's total budget costs, and I find that alarming. Thank you.
Oh, are you done?
Section, ma'am, if once we finish there, perhaps then we can go to the annual reports, because it's two different reports. I don't want them to have to go to this report and then open another book.
Okay,
it's up to the department.
Can you answer these which are now available?
Jeff, is it almost like a statement? Can the member just ask the question? You made a statement. Is there a question?
Yes, why is our compensation of employees so high? It's well above 50% of the budget, and we still have vacancies to fill. Thank you.
We, through Chairperson, will answer. We'll check that when you come to it. There were some questions that were asked in the first round, which were never answered. One of them was the issues of the irregular payments, and on the issues of the, there was a question I think from Member Abrams on the issue of what is it being done on the staff that are not doing things the correct way in terms of irregular spending. We've got a loss control committee where all these irregular expenditures are sent to, and they are scrutinized by this team that is made out of almost all the staff member sector, from the junior of the staff right up to the DDG level, where they are represented there. As a team, they come up to with a decision that this one is irregular, this one is condoned, and this one action needs to be taken, and they're sent to the DG for the DG to take action. I have been receiving most of those, and corrective action has been taken to members that have done those things. There are final written warnings that have been written to people. There are written warnings. Others have been condoned, but others have been, we've been decided that we need to go on a fully-fledged disciplinary inquiry, that people need to come and account for whatever that's taking place. It's not that things happen and they are not being taken care of. I can say this without any doubt, because it has come to my office. It comes as a thick document with letters and recommendations that are there, and it has been done in a way that has been and done correctly. And there was the issue the minister did answer on the issues of the communication. And Lumka has been itching to answer on the issue of the communication, which I was going to answer to more or less the same way as the minister has been saying, that yes, we have gone the route of the social media, but we have not done that without taking into account of going through the community radio station. If we have imbezzles, we do have the mobile that comes in at that particular time when we do that, and we try by all means that we have the mobile unit that comes that calls all, puts all together the community radio stations of that particular area. Like if you are Western Cape, it takes all of them, and when we talk at that particular time, we have those reports. They are done simultaneously on all radios at the very same time. I've seen it in KZN, and I've seen it in when we're doing it in Western Cape. I'm not too sure about others. Lunga can add on to that. So the things have been going very well on to that. We know that we may not reach everybody because people may not be listening at the same time when we do those issues. Maybe Lumuka, do you want to add on something on the community or communication? If not, then I'll ask the CFO to take us through.
But maybe there was some constructive criticisms that had come on that were saying we are worried by the attacks out in the media. And these attacks, we hear that we are being attacked, especially the ministry. We wait for the department to dispute what is being said, like your 123 something or million or another amount, but there is nothing that comes from the department to clarify the issue. So it remains now a truth in terms of having those who read but didn't have any other thing that is opposed to what was being said. So the department, that communication strategy at a corner to respond to issues that appear, or whether it's social media or what, because communication is not one way. There is communication for information flow, there is battle of ideas and contestation out there. But I think then I just wanted to highlight that you also hear that if you are not ready to respond to that strategy, you can go on and say and respond to other questions. But the space is yours.
Then on the vacancy side, we must admit. Because I'm one was leading the team with the HR at the time, that we promised that we are going to reduce the vacancy rate from, I think at the time it was 14% or 13%, and you said you were going to reduce it to 10%. And I took it into my office, and we ran it as a project that we were going to fill all the positions that were needed to be filled at the particular time, which I must say that we really tried to do it. But the problem that we got into was that there are some positions whereby when you do interviews, the people that are appointed are people that are appointed internally. So when that happens, you close this gap. It opens up the gap on the other side that we need to fill in going forward, which at the particular time that it cannot happen the very same time, because until you know whom you appoint, you may not know that it will be the internal or it will be the external person. Mm-hmm. That has been happening. While we're doing that, we're busy with the issue of appointment. Then National Treasury came up with the issue of austerity measures, mm-hmm. and where they cut on the staffing. They didn't cut. They increased our goods and services a little bit, but they reduced on our staff compensation, which then became a very problematic onto us, where in reality we are told that we need to reduce the staff complement. So with all the problems that we have on the staffing on the other side, vacancies, so it means that we found ourselves in a quagmire that we could not be able to come out with, because when we have got to deal with that, how do you deal with the issue that you do not have money to compensate them going forward?
Okay, but what are you saying, because Mama Wilson, I thought she was saying you've got enough budget, or your budget doesn't depict the fact that you haven't filled the post. If I hear you well, you say while you did not increase the number of your recruitment, the budget was also reduced for you to fill other posts or to meet your target that you would, I just want to get it clear.
This question I was answering was not the Mama Wilson, it was, I think, coming from the whip on saying that on the issue of vacancies, it was just a general vacancy reduction that we're supposed to have done. That one, we are in a standstill, because as it is right now, we are looking at how are we going to be able to meet the target of treasury for us to be able to live within the means that has been put onto us. We cannot increase, it means that we can't appoint going forward. We need to reprioritize on the vacancies that we have.
Then please link it to the latest one.
That one I wanted the CFO to answer that. Now he's just gone out. Can we go pass on others until he comes back so that he can answer that? Because that one I didn't quite really understood it. I think he understood it well himself onto it.
Okay,
that's the one. Then I think on the issue of the ECD APP and annual report, Sisconi, can you be able to try and tackle that one?
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson and Honorable Members. I think it was an error, because this target is on the MTSF. There's in our APP, it's supposed to be DSD HR plan, but the one that the Honorable Whip is talking about is an integrated HR plan, which is led by DBE. That is supposed to happen. That is why it's not even achieved when you look at it in the annual report itself. So it was an error. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Ms. Cohen. Then on the one that how to measure targets, the experts are here for monitoring and evaluation. There is a team, full team, that can be able to tackle that. Taban is the leader of that monitoring and evaluation. He's the one that is going to answer on this question. Doesn't want me to respond.
Now we want to know what our
next one.
Thank you. Did you just said there's the whole team of experts as well to assist. But whenever we set targets, we only measure them because once you set a target, there's a performance that needs to go to that particular target. And those particular performances, you classify them in terms of the duration and when do you want that performance to be attained. It can be quarterly, it could be, and so forth, some are just like that. So whenever there's that particular target, so as you do the performance, we measure them in terms of what that performance done in terms of attaining that particular target. And for us, in terms of complying with the treasury regulations and so forth, there need to be evidence that demonstrates that indeed that particular target was indeed met, and because of this particular evidence that has been provided. So we collect even the portfolio of evidence that gets to be audited by our own internal auditors, and then following the regulations as prescribed by both National Treasury as well as DPME. But I'm not sure if Mr. Letuali wants to add anything to that.
Thanks, Mr. Uteles. Thanks, Chairperson and Honorable Members. In addition, how the performance is rated is also time-bound. Hence, sometimes when the quarterly performance is presented, it's possible that you find underperformance, but then when annual performance is presented, the performance is a bit above what has been reported during the quarterly performance reporting. But also in addition, the other thing is the breakdown of activities as per each of the indicators or annual targets, where they are time-bound, as Mr. Patel has indicated. If a certain activity that was set for a particular period has not been achieved in that particular period, it will be a non-achievement. But if it's achieved in subsequent period, then it becomes an achievement, because it's a build-up to the annual target. though it was not achieved in its specific period, but as a build-up, then come the end of the financial year, it would have been achieved. Thank you, Chairperson.
Can I just ask a question?
Mama, when it comes to the measurement, like you are telling us how you measure a target, do you look at the impact to this target has on our community, etc.? Thank you. Because I think the chief, not the chief, the chairperson always speak to the impact. Now I would like to hear that attainment. Thank you.
Okay, the last part.
Planning, those four accounts, because we're going to have the game as the legacy funds, yeah, those funds.
I think in terms of performance management across board, there are various instruments and tools that are used for to measure the performance of, in terms of internal performance rules, to measure the performance of the department in terms of the targets that it has set themselves, that they appear on the APP that is approved in Parliament as well. This is the tool that we use, which is required and appears in terms of the trade regulations and so forth. And then you move within the M&E practice, then you move where there are ways in which you monitor how the performance is being done. So in terms of the results framework, we move from when these things are planned, you move to in terms of the input, the output, the outcomes, as well as the outcome, as well as the impact. For sure, as a department, we do conduct some evaluations, then begin to speak to impact. In terms of the targets that you have, by their very same nature, they are not impact-orientated. They are outputs, because it's what you are going to put and then what you're going to get at the end. That's just one way of measuring it. But as a department, as government across, we do have various instruments in which we use to measure the performance at various levels. In this instance, in terms of the APP, because the targets are not impact-oriented themselves, it's only at the level of outputs. But we do go to outcome level and we do go to impact using various other exercises and tools which we do have, and we do conduct some of the evaluations, and they appear in terms of the report that has been presented. If you look at some of the targets within M&E, there were evaluations such as the NPO, National Drug Master Plan, and so forth. Those were evaluations specifically then measured at a different level in terms of the results based framework. Thanks.
So something that has not been properly to us is that when the acting DG spoke of the monitoring and evaluation unit, you are the one. Is he the one?
I am part of the Chief Directorate Monitoring and Evaluation in the department.
Okay.
Thank you.
Or maybe then we will make a recommendation that we must be able to have a separate sitting with you, so that we don't clap you in this situation. I mean, not when I say with him, I'm referring to the unit, not as a person. To say, today we are going to discuss and engage with the monitoring and evaluation unit, so that we don't ask this question of impact when you're talking about expenditure targets, but it should be a separate matter that I think the committee will sit down, because that unit has not been there. Now that I think I took it from you that it wasn't there, you were going to pronounce it. We're happy to acknowledge it is there, that the monitoring and evaluation, I think the sentence I can quote was that we are, that is the weakest point. I was still a newcomer here when I was asking this unit. particularly on the issues of NGO funding, whether they are doing work or not there, and all the other impact of service delivery that you have put in place. But I think we will work away as a committee, because as a committee, we do want to be effective in order not to fumble, to ask a question, to bucket a wrong tree. We must be very specific that we are dealing with this, and this is the person that accounts on this. Then that will go to the entire annual report, having been followed all the time. So if that's the arrangement, maybe you can go ahead.
But I wanted to come on the issue of the impact, because I think the impact is very important. When you are putting something, especially on the issue, you want to see whether it impacted the lives of the South African, the vulnerable group that the social development is tasked with. So I don't know the difference between the output and the impact. Because I thought that whatever that you're receiving, what you're putting in and what you receive at the end of the day as an output, that's where you measure whether your output, has impacted the lives of the people. It's unfortunate because we are talking about if, for example, there's a program that they are doing or a target, they target to... If you are targeting to plan, let's say, Isha ECD, they have, there's a target on ECD, which for me, they've overachieved the target. But then, what is important is the impact that they have done. Even if the target they've overachieved on it, have they made impact in the lives of those vulnerable children? Most of the children are able to attend ECD centers. So that's why I'm saying sometimes really the impact is very important on us. Because when you put something, we need to see that impact, that are we changing the lives of, they must find a way. They must find a way when they report on their targets. At the same time, they must tell us whether are we moving forward, changing the lives of the poor. Because sometimes you put targets, but yet you are not impacting at any given time to the lives of the people.
No, avoiding to be criticized as a former mayor. At a local government level, we talk of key performance indicators, and we also put an issue of key performance indeed key performance area and a key performance indicator. So if there was too much poverty in our term affecting children from 0 year to 5 years, after 3 years, having put Mikonzo, ICROP, ECD, has there been an improvement? So our KPPs, we are always around that. But I've since learned that it's your APPs. But I've been all this time sitting in this chair worried about the fact that we talk of numbers, of achievements, but there is no measure that we can put in place and say our measure has been this. But I've also seen this, from the Honorable Toledi, as a matter that we will move forward together with those the assessees and assessors, to be able to find a common way that we feel we would want to oversight this way, and you feel you better oversight us this way. I think it's a collective arrangement that will continue as a family going forward. So I agree with you, and then Dadu Tabane wants to say something. Can I allow you, sir?
I was going to say, Chairperson, that the portfolio committee through the Chairperson has suggested that monitoring and evaluation team will be invited to come and discuss, by the way, because their job is to monitor us. in, and they are working with DPME, by the way. They participate on the Department of the in the Presidency. They are part and parcel, and they are a formidable team. So I would suggest that rather than him answering and giving promises that he may not be able to achieve, because the impact of that you may not see. So it will be better if he comes to the portfolio committee and take the portfolio committee through on everything that they do, so that you suggest and give input on to what they do, so that when they come and monitor us, they monitor us in a way that will talk through to what the portfolio committee wants to see as the way that we are supposed to be compiling the report. Can I request?
And we are saying that because looking into the annual report,
yes,
is identifying strengths and weaknesses, that this up to this level, this is how we have moved forward. However, we identify weaknesses which we think we will improve in the next annual report.
Yes.
So I don't think we're recommending that tomorrow, but we are saying as we look into our work having been brought as an annual report, we also look into something that says all the weaknesses must be identified, and then we will work on those weaknesses, not necessarily now, but as time goes on. We still have another 12 months to do our annual report. We're still going to be in your chair, Taban, and me in my chair, and in the same building for a very long time. So can we continue?
Then let's deal with the issue of legacy funds, and Mr. Van Vreede is going to take us through. This one we have been dealing with for a longer time. It has been going forward and backwards. So he can take us through and tell us how far we are with the repeal of those ads.
Thanks, Chairperson, DG. On the four funds, we currently have the Disaster Relief Fund, which is active. There is a board in place, and so they are. So that fund is active at the moment, and that's mainly as a result of the droughts that we've had. So that fund was activated again towards the end of the financial year, and most of the work's been done in the current financial year. The other three funds, the Refugee Relief Fund, the Social Relief Fund, and the State President Fund, they are currently dormant, and we have proposed in the last financial year that we were going to repeal all of the fund and the Fundraising Act in its totality, and we've prepared legislation for that. However, when we got to Cabinet with that legislation, we were then advised to say we should not repeal the Fundraising Act, that we should rather just make it more relevant to the current times. So we have, through the course of this year, worked on a new Fundraising Act. We have a draft amendment bill for the Fundraising Act prepared, and it's gone through its pre-cabinet stages, and we hope to take that to Cabinet in hopefully November before the cycle ends, and hopefully be able to come to Parliament with that early in the new year. Thanks.
Thanks a lot for that. Although I listened with a bit of a half a year, but we'll appreciate it if you come back with it, because it's the fourth year really. I think we have to start again. I'm not sure whether the CFO, have you got something to tell us, to say to us? Yes, and then I'll go to the Honourable Wilson.
Mr. Chairperson, with regard to the question of why compensation is high, it is based on the mandate of the department that compensation bill is so high. But if we also look across government, that has been the reason why government is trying to reduce the compensation bill of all the departments. But this is purely based on our mandate and the requirements in terms of what we're supposed to do. That's why it's high. And let me also say, Chairperson, that in as much as we think that in the administration this is very high, I think once we open up administration for you, you'll find that there is a lot of vacancies, critical vacancies that we can't fill. And this is purely because of the fact that we've our budgets has been cut and we can't appoint these people. But I mean, it's not that we're over the top. We can open up administration for you and you'll actually be very sad for the department. Thanks.
Honorable Mapilo, Honorable Wilson, are you coming back? Do you have another?
We'll leave it at that. If I have, I'm going to get my head around that one. I'll come back on it. Thank you.
Thanks a lot, Honorable Mapilo.
No, thanks, Chair. I know that in the public service, there's always been a norm around personnel versus non-personnel in terms of expenditure. I just want to get the picture from DSD. What is in percentage? What is the norm or what is the regime in terms of the ratio, personnel, non-personnel, given the budgetary pressures that you have highlighted, so that we have a better understanding.
Before you answer, I'd like to know whether this is the norm now for all departments, because I think I picked it up with certain departments that it's not moratorium, it's just that you can't appoint at the moment.
Maybe let me start with the last one. On it's not moratorium, they cut the budget. They cut it. So it says that, without saying it out loud, reduce the public service. Mm-hmm. It says that. But they are putting on to us that we say cut. You see how you cut your this budget. That's how they put it for us. What we are doing as it is right now, we're looking at so many different ways of how are we going to get into that space on that target that we're doing. There's an issue of the people that are near retirement. There are people that, there are contract workers that we need to work them out and all those kind of things and see what is it that we can do in order for us to fit into. It's a painful, painful, painful exercise. It is painful.
Do you still want to answer? Yes?
When you are asked that, when your budget is cut, you have to look into your priorities. Then if you don't do that, you'll have a problem. You need to reprioritize. Even in the committee that I'm sitting with, it has got 26 entities. Some of them are very important entities, like your cancer. It's an institutional structure that's established on chapter 26. But when they have to, if there is, actually, the president is the one who made the call. It's his state of the nation. And then the minister, the minister of finance, then would have to endorse on what the president has said, that the spending should be cut across all the departments. Mm. But it's unfortunate because when we have to reprioritize most of the budget that we use, your traveling expenses, we don't compromise them. We don't compromise your catering. We don't compromise, we compromise on the.
Thanks a lot. I'll accept that input and let us leave it as such. Unless, yes, I now want to hear whether it's 2080 or what comes. What is it? Thank you.
If you look across government, it's some departments are as high up to 65%, 35% ratio of personnel versus goods and services. Our department currently is at 55% compensated, 45%. Taking into consideration that we still need to reprioritize and reduce that baseline. So, I mean, in actual fact, next year we can easily sitting here probably around 50% or less. Because, I mean, we had to cut, as we speak, during the adjustment, they've already started to take savings on personnel away from us because we are no longer allowed to utilize savings on personnel as been in the past. So, during the adjustment which is happening now, they started to take that savings away from us. So, and that's throughout government that's happening. Thanks.
All right, fine. Is there anything that you'd like to answer, actually? Let us continue. Are there still more questions? Yes, Honourable Wilson.
Chair, yes, I have questions on the annual report on the finances themselves. Thank you, Chair. I had a lot, but I have reverted a lot to written questions, so I won't put the guys under too much pressure. I'm sure the Minister will respond to written questions very, very quickly. But I always go to the back of the annual report first. I'm going to start at page 11, and this is just a query. 211. 211. There's just two queries. One of them is the transfers to Love Life. This committee had a huge, huge concern about the continued support of Love Life. At their last presentation, we were absolutely appalled at what they were doing, and they had absolutely, at that stage, no relevance to this department or its mandate whatsoever. Love Life had gone off on a planet of its own, on its own spaceship. And that's number one. Can we just reassess that, or can we get Love Life back to see if they've got back onto the same planet as we have? And then just a query on all those that are blank underneath that. Have we now stopped supporting those NGOs, or those NGOs or NPOs no longer compliant? Page 208. Conditional grants paid to the provinces. Only four provinces there. Can we just get some 208? This is all under notes to the annual financial statements. It's monies paid to of the conditional grants to the provinces. What were those conditional grants for? Was there a stipulation? 205 and 203. It's the same issue, just under two different notes. And these are minor capital assets under investigation and movable tangible capital assets under investigation. I think I'm more concerned about the movable tangible capital assets. It's 23 million of lost assets or assets not found or assets transferred to provinces without necessary documentation. That is, it's a lot of assets to lose, and that's quite concerning if we can get some indications on that one. And page 202 again, social assistance debtors over recovery. There's a lot of information in these pages with regards to social assistance debtors recoveries. If we can get information on that. Page 200 deals with fruitless and wasteful expenditure. Now, under 26.1, the explanation is that the increase in the current year relates to an accident with a hired vehicle and the abuse of use of a departmental cell phone, and that these cases are under investigation. But if you look at 26.3, which is the analysis of the current year's fruitful and wasteful expenditure. The car damage in the accident was only 74,000. However, the posters and ribbons were 485,000. That's an awful lot of wasteful expenditure on ribbons and posters. So I find the statement that the increase was due to the accident of a hired vehicle and the use of a department cell phone misleading. That wasn't where the bulk of the irregular expenditure was. What was that? That was 200. 199. Page 199. Under the irregular expenditure storm, the details of irregular expenditure in the current year.
and this came up with the AG in the presentations prior with this. It doesn't go away, and I'm very concerned about it, and it's going to be big in the SASA presentation. Non-compliance with SCM processes and order numbers not issued to prior services. This cannot go on. I mean, it just can't be acceptable. We are being advised that action is actually taking place on that. But I want to know exactly what happened to who and what the consequences were. Because at this stage, we should not be facing this at all. It's just not an excuse that people are not complying to supply chain management. It is not an excuse. It can't be accepted. 194, page 194. Now we're going back to SASA claims payable. It's under 16.2, SASA claim payable, disallowance miscellaneous. I'm always scared of anything that says miscellaneous. It concerns me. And SASA unallocated receipts. If we can get an information on exactly what that is, please. Page 194. Oh, I've just done that one. 193. Under 16 payables current, other payables. The other payables is recorded there as 40 million. I'm not sure that I'm clear on the explanation under the note 16.2, if we can have an explanation there. And on 192, right at the bottom, voted funds to be surrendered to revenue. Are we saying that we turn 646 million back to Treasury? Is that what that figure is? That frightens the daylights out of me. When people are starving, then I can't be comfortable with that. That was 192, right at the bottom, number 13. The local travel, page 187, local travel and foreign travel. Again, the figures have gone up hugely, but we have asked written questions on that for explanation. Page 185, under goods and services, the figures are alarming to say the least, but I don't want to go into them one by one because questions have been asked on that. If I may, please just have an explanation on what the other operating expenses are under 11.4. And in closing, Chair, I'm actually going right back to the beginning of the report on page 123. The very bottom, the meeting of the 14th of October 2015, with the Auditor General of South Africa's briefing on the department's audit outcomes. The very first bullet point in that report says the committee commended the department for obtaining a clean audit for 2014-15. That I am fine with, but we did not commend, under no circumstances, did we commend this department for achieving 69% of its targets. We did not. We found that totally unacceptable, and the excuses we were given were non-consequential. That report, in this report, is incorrect. Thank you. Okay, well, if we can just advise them, please, that this report is then actually incorrect. Thank you.
We just checked in the one point, but we'll go back to our recommendations. But we'd like the department, the HOD, our DG, just to reply or hand it over to your CFO, thank you. And we'll just check that recommendation.
thank you so much, Chairperson. The first one is on Love Life. I'll ask Mr. Nechipale to take us through on the issue of Love Life. Then all the following ones, irregular expenditure, up to page 199, I'll ask the CFO to tackle those, all of those. Then I'm going to ask SASSA to deal with the debtors, social assistance debtors. The CFO is here and is going to deal with them. Then the SASSA claim payable, Mr. Van Vrede is going to take us through that. And the amount surrendered to Treasury, again, the CFO will take us through together with the CFO for SASSA. Can I ask Mr. Nechipale to take us through the Love Life?
Thank you, DG and chairpersons and members. The amount reflected here was that during this financial year is after we reviewed the activities that Love Life need to get. We committed to pay them just under 50% of the budget that they have, and we committed to pay them only 25,000 as an agreement as the last payment before we change the strategy. And the strategy then have to change in 2016-17. So that amount we committed to pay Love Life for the activities that they were still doing. And that's the transfer amount that we agreed upon.
Let me start with page 208. Those conditional grants that were the substance abuse of the grant that you paid out. Page 208 is the substance abuse grants that we paid. The conditional
was that
grants.
Centers? For the centers?
For the construction of the centers. Page 204. Those are the assets. For the 205. 203, which one is it? Yes, yes, Jefferson. These assets, we've procured a lot of assets for other provinces, and it has not been transferred to those provinces. We have now gone and verified those assets. We found most of those assets, and we're in the process of transferring it and getting it out of our asset register so that it reflects in those provinces their asset registers. That was the reason why we had to raise this issue, because in our verification, both the verifications, we realized that we can't put these assets in our asset register, so we're fixing that. On page 202 provisions, the social assistance debt recovery. These are the recoveries as people start paying back the social the deductions, those are soft pin deductions, and people that pay in the SASSA offices on social grant basis. That's what we recover. And in terms of 200, the fruitless and wasteful expenditure, yes, we acknowledge there was a mistake there. But Jefferson, just with regards to that, issue around the ribbons. That was a finding raised by AG during the audit, indicating that they felt the price that we paid for those ribbons were not market related, and therefore we had to disclose it as fruitless and wasteful expenditure. The difference of the price that they felt were above the market related price. So that we disclose as fruitless and wasteful expenditure. So we acknowledge the fact that that description is a bit misleading. We'll fix it up. And page 199, the irregular expenditure. This matter, Chairperson, was a matter that we felt that it allows us in terms of our policy to allow the bid adjudication to approve procurement not to go through a bid process, whereby we wanted to procure from specific groups. The interpretation from the Treasury was that, from between the AG and Treasury, was that we should have gone out on a bid and we should have got approval from Treasury for a special dispensation to allow for that procurement beforehand. And that's why they regard this particular issue as irregular. It's not due to the fact that we were breaking the rules, we failed, that we were inside the rules, because our bid adjudication allowed for us and our policy allowed for the bid adjudication to make that. But AG and Treasury felt that it was outside of the rules. And we should have advertised it rather, and or get a specific dispensation before we could do that. We have subsequently got that dispensation approved by Treasury. So during the audit, this is the regular expenditure that was incurred here. I must say that we have a loss control committee that deals with all the regular expenditure and fruitless and wasteful expenditure. And the DG has issued disciplinary letters to people that did violate the rules. If we go to page 194, and particularly you were asking about the other payables. I'm not so sure, Chairperson, but I felt that the description there is quite clear on what the other payables is. In page 193, 192,
yeah.
With regards to the voted funds. Chairperson, this is the savings in the grant payments. That's the program 2. That we every year need to, there's the 1.4 that we've put in the expenditure report, the underspend, but there's also the amounts that we have surrendered during the year that went for back. So this is a specific allocation and we cannot really touch this allocation. The same in terms of the environment. You cannot apply this to the environment. When you do environment, this particular money, you cannot touch it. If it's unspent, it has to move back to the Treasury. And page 185, I think it's on page 187, there is a explanation of what is that other expenditure. It relates to professional bodies, resettlement costs, and the other, there's also personnel costs, early retirement costs and those things that relates to personnel costs. I think I've covered everything, Chairperson.
Yes. Thanks a lot for that one. I think when it comes to the recommendation, SG, on page 123, the recommendation that was made. The committee commended the department for obtaining a clean audit for 2014-2015, full stop. Yes, full stop. Yes. The rest have to be deleted. So there's an error there. Thank you.
Sorry, Chair, I just have a final question on page 228 with regards to the Disaster Relief Fund.
Okay, you can go ahead, yeah.
And in particular, the contingent liabilities. There is an awful lot of information there, and some of it just kind of worries me. Can we please have an explanation of exactly what this is and what is happening in the Disaster Relief Fund? Thank you. We've just been told that there is a board on board and that they are meeting because of drought relief and those kind of things, which has been declared in some areas a disaster. But these contingent liabilities and discussions of legal fees to the tune of R500,000, etc., if we can get an explanation on this, please. Thank you.
I'm sure you got it.
Thanks, Chairperson. Maybe just to summarize, the previous board, before their term came to an end, disbursed some funds in the Northern Cape specifically, in all across the country, but there was a specific region in the Northern Cape where a group of beneficiaries felt that they were not treated or that they had the right to a claim, and their claims weren't appropriately dealt with, so they had then taken us to court, or did not ask the board to court, and that is that liability, that whole court case is still pending at the moment, and so we're just recording if they were to win that court case, that would be the liability to the department.
Sorry, point of clarity. The claim is for $551,000, correct? If you look at 10.1. But the legal costs are estimated at $1 million. That's scary. Are we not better off paying the 551 instead of the legal costs of $1 million?
Thanks. That's exactly what got us into that trouble. What happened was, maybe I should have given a little more detail.
Yeah.
After the disaster relief dispersed, two individuals came forward. And they claimed, and the disaster relief board thought, well, instead of going through court, etc., let's just pay these two individuals. That then set a precedent, and then suddenly, I'm not sure exactly the amount, but a whole lot came after that.
Mm-hmm.
And then it was decided, no, let's rather defend because we don't know if it's going to end there. We could again, no, not us again, this is the board. The board could say, let's just settle, and then more could come. So with the board, that board, the previous board then decided it's best rather to defend the matter and have a legal outcome of it. But again, this is lawyers from the legal system.
You satisfied, Mama Wilson?
Yes, I am at this point. As I said, we've reverted a lot of the questions to written questions, so we should be fine. Thank you.
That will be fine. You will get more explanation on that route. Do we have other questions? It's important that we use all the strength we have to deal and scrutinize and interrogate this our work.
because it's our work, is going to the archives for all of us, we and the department. So people must feel free to ask questions so that more explanation is given. But if we have exhausted the area of the
my last question is on the issue of the deferred targets. There are targets that have not been achieved, and the explanation was those targets are going to be deferred in the new financial year. I just want to check the impact of the deferring of targets to the next year. Why do you have planned them for the current year? Because in my view, if you plan very well, you wouldn't find yourself deferring targets. Let me make an example. I think in program one, 43 targets have been achieved. They planned for 43 targets. They achieved 21, which when you translate it to percentages, it's 48.8% achievement rate. But at the same time, they've spent 100% on that. Now, they've been deferred. The explanation is the other targets, the 21 targets, have been deferred to the next year. What is the implication of that?
So that at least you have maybe three or four questions to answer. These are the last questions because we want to deal with the NDA, isn't it? Which is going to be our last item now. So it's not going to be long. Mrs. Nelly should be aware that we will be dealing with NDA after these two questions.
I just remember the last one when we were having the finance commission.
Okay.
They've raised that the department has allocated 50% more bazaaries. And then, which is, I think it's over what they have. What I'm asking Chairperson is, what is going to happen at the end of the day? Will they be able to absorb all those bazaar holders that they've given the bazaars to?
That question has been noted. When you are ready, you will indicate or are ready to dedicate your team. No, we'll come to you.
The last one will be asked Ms. Kony to answer, and the first one I will ask Shabani to talk about the targets and progress. Ms. Kony.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. We have noted that we have taken more scholarships over and above the target. Let me also first say that we also believe that by educating a young person, it's not necessarily a waste of resources. You are educating a nation. However, we also take into consideration the fact that once you train someone, you need to employ that person to really get some income and implement the skills that that person has acquired. It's also true that we have a backlog in terms of appointing social workers that have graduated through scholarship. And others have educated themselves. Mm-hmm. They've not really been appointed in the mainstream economy and also in the sector. In recent times, we have negotiated with Treasury. We have made proposal to the Treasury to say, from next year, we want to reduce the intake so that the balance or the money that is left is used to absorb social workers It will be incrementally from next financial year until the numbers are all absorbed, while we're educating those that are already in the system. What also made us to make this request to Treasury is that we had a saving of 100 million from NASFAS because the scholarship is paid through NASFAS. We have a contract with NASFAS. So we said, let's take the 100 million and also do some calculations within to say if we reduce, we have given Treasury options in terms of if we reduce by 750, this is the number of social workers we can appoint. If we reduce by 500, this is the number we can appoint. So we're hopeful by come next year we'll be beginning to appoint. And what excites us is that already in the last 2 weeks, they've been communicating with us to propose a conditional grant. Because the danger also is that when you send money to provinces, it's diverted to other priorities in a particular province. So Treasury, we've already submitted, they said we must submit by the 3rd of October. We submitted a proposed grant framework on how this grant is going to work to appoint social workers that have graduated based on the numbers that we've proposed in terms of the money that can pay salaries for social workers. I must say the money is only for salaries. It doesn't look at the tools of trade. It doesn't look at offices, and those are the realities that social workers are facing on the ground. But we said, at least let's rather appoint them. Provinces will have means on how social workers are able to do their job when they are deployed in provinces. So that's where we are, Honorable Chairperson, in terms of turning around and say, how can we use still the scholarship to be able to reduce the intake up to the level where we will take a minimal of 500 scholarships per year so that we see how many we can appoint moving forward until we get a permanent solution. Thank you.
Also, Minister, having listened to a department, things that hinges around provinces, for example, the issue of provinces not utilizing what you gave them to do and doing something else. We're believing that maybe it will help us if, before planning, we invite the department, especially the DG, to bring department, provincial departments on social development, so that we can listen also together with the department their plans. So that when we know their plans, when you know properly their plans, we'll be able to do a proper oversight too. Because I think it's a way of trying to have that integration, because it becomes a problem when they are given money to absorb social workers. And then social workers, when they are not employed, they are not answerable. It becomes national that is answerable. I think we needed to make that note. Then can we go to the last question?
Honorable Chair, thanks for the question. Yes, indeed. It's just that the term of defer, it's, I note it, but what it really happens is that it's some of those targets that were not fully met. I can cite an example, on IT, the NISPIS, development of the NISPIS project, which is a national integrated social protection information system, could not be completed and done because of lack of funds. And the reason then, as we do the review, we say it will be then be prioritized in the next financial year. So there are those targets that could not be fully met in this previous financial year, and they get them to say we'll meet them in the next financial year. Some of the evaluations, even within the M&E, could not be done, such as the evaluation of ECBND because of the poor planning that took place within that evaluation, and if planning has been properly done. I can give more examples, but in the pages that within the report I'm referring now, from page 39 or so, where the admin part starts, it does provide the reasons for those targets that were not met, and the reason to say why is it that you want to push it in the next financial year. and mostly the targets that are there within the support program one, because it's mainly the support functions and so forth. So I wouldn't say there's a major impact. There's an impact in terms of us not having achieved them, but as we do the reviews, we are able to be honest as well to say if by end of the third quarter we see the program that it's most likely not to meet this target even in the next financial year. So we include it in the APP as we plan it for the subsequent years and make sure that it's allocated accordingly as well.
Taken through all that. Sismedi, the platform is yours. And I also think you will do likewise. We now know your mandate. You know, with your vision. We are interested in your programs, your finance, your expenditure going forward. Thank you.
Chairperson, Chairperson. Thank you for this opportunity to come and present the report of the NDA to the Portfolio Committee for Social Development. We have prepared an annual report for the year 2015-2016. Three board members are present here. We are three board members present here. Myself as chair of the board and the deputy chair, Mr. Zolile Makane, and the audit and risk chair, Ms. Varachia. The NDA has implemented the five programs in the year under review, and the agency has achieved 73% of its targets for the year under review 2015-2016. Finally, I must indicate that we have achieved an unqualified audit, and we are working very hard to ensure that we have a clean audit for the next financial year. May I hand over, in handing over to the acting CEO to present this report, we want to thank her as a board for the very good and sterling work she has done while she has been acting as the CEO of the NDA. She has brought some stability and managed to create an environment in which the officials could do their work as the NDA. The acting CFO will also present the financials for the report. And we are also pleased to announce that the next time we will be with you as a portfolio committee, it will be with our new CEO. Thank you very much, Chairperson.
Presenting the annual report to the committee, the Portfolio Committee for Social Development, for its consideration. Chairperson, you've indicated that you know our mandate, we don't have to go there. Mr. Buteles is assisting me here in terms of the connection. So I will not also look into the organizational structure of the entity. I'll zoom into the program areas for NDA. We have five strategic program areas. Program one, which is resource mobilization for the CSOs. Program two, which is the capacity building for the CSOs. Program three, civil society mobilization and advocacy. Program four, which is research and knowledge management. And lastly, program five, which is governance and administration. And then the National Development Agency has the five strategic objectives, which is one, to mobilize the 160 million to enable the co-ops to implement the development programs for 2017-2018, to build the capacity. My apologies, Chairperson, I'm connected now. The second one is to build the capacity of the CSOs through training, mentorship, and incubation to the 13,000 CSOs by 2017-18, to promote active citizenry through consultation, dialogues, and sharing of development experience between CSOs and relevant organs of state. And then the next one is to undertake four action research and policy publications that informs development policy as well as good practice, and to strengthen the internal capacity, systems and processes to improve operation efficiency and effectiveness. When coming to the program performance, program one, which is resource mobilization for civil society organizations. So our objective, strategic objective, was to mobilize 160 million to enable CSOs or civil society organizations or co-ops to implement development programs. So our performance indicator in terms of 2015-2016, our target was to mobilize 120 million, but we were only able to mobilize 67.3 million. And then in terms of the civil society organizations that were funded through conditional grants, our target was 150, and then the actual was 154. The number of households that were supported through Mikonzo program was 896. Our target was 1,050. And the beneficiaries from the civil society organizations and co-ops which received grant funding were 3,321 as against the planned target of 1,800. So we exceeded on this one. In terms of the capacity building for civil society organizations, we had a strategic objective to build the capacity of the civil society organizations through training, mentorship, and incubation to 13,000 civil society organizations. So for 2015-2016 financial year, our target was 2,000 civil society organizations to be trained, mentored, and to be incubated. The target was 2,000, the actual was 2,687, and then the number of staff members of the civil society organizations themselves that were trained, mentored, and incubated, the target was 4,000, and we were able to train 5,044. And then the number of civil society organizations that were capacitated within the Mikonzo areas, our target was 600, but we were able to reach 2,002 CSOs. The program three, in terms of civil society mobilization and advocacy, the number of consultations with social partners and CSOs participation on national development programs were planned for 9, but we were able to achieve 10. And then the number of dialogues and information sharing with CSOs on promotion of the National Development Plan, our target was 10, and then we're able to achieve 9 with a deviation of 1. In terms of program 4, which is research and knowledge management, our strategic objective was to undertake 4 action research and policy publications that informs policy development and good practice. For 2015-2016, we planned to do 2 action research, and we were able to achieve 1. The other one still it was not completed in that financial year. And then the number of policy engagements with government and civil society sector held. The planned target was 3, and then we were able to achieve the 3 that were planned. And the number of publications on research and evaluation that were produced were planned for 14, and we were able to achieve 19. In terms of program 5 on governance and administration, our strategic objective is to strengthen the internal capacity, systems, and processes to improve operation efficiency and effectiveness. We have planned that in terms of our organizational targets to say at least you must achieve 80% in the financial year, but we're able to achieve 73%. And then in terms of the positive rating of the National Development Agency brand recognition, our target was 70%, we're able to achieve 95.5%. We plan to also achieve unqualified audit opinion. We're able to achieve the unqualified audit opinion. in the reporting year. I think the chairperson of the board has indicated that we are moving towards the thin one in the current, in the next financial year, which is the current year. And then in terms of the new NDA business plan and model finalized, that was our plan to have the new business model developed and finalized that we're able to achieve. And then we have the acting chief financial officer who is going to cover the statement of the financial performance of the organization as in end of 31 March 2016. Chairperson, may I hand over to Mr. Shingange, who is our acting chief financial officer. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. And members, I'll take you through the financial report. I think on the handout, it's on page 16 of the presentation. I think that's where I'll start. By way of introduction, we are saying that the NDA continues to operate under strict, stringent financial constraints due to our official allocation that we receive from Treasury via the Department of Social Development, which is which has increased during the financial year by a mere 3%, while CPI for that period was averaging between 6 and 6.5. So we are saying that in terms of the resources, the organization, I think it's under pressure. The resources are in real terms not increasing but declining due to the below inflationary increase. And due to the below inflationary increase, we also have pressure in terms of your key expenses such as rental, employment, compensation of employees or employment costs, which are increasing by between 9% and 7%, which increased by between 9% and 7% in the previous financial year. And in terms of overall financial performance, in terms of the income statement, we are reporting a deficit of 1.7 million in the financial year 2015-2016 versus a reported deficit of 12.4 million in the previous financial year 2014-15. And in terms of the deficits, these are not cash deficits, but these are accounting deficits due to the timing difference between the recognition of revenue and expenditure relating to funded projects. In terms of the page 17, I'll zoom into what were the resources that were made available to the organization in the previous financial year. In terms of the resources that were made available, we are saying that the revenue increased by a mere 6% in the financial year 15-16. The total revenue increased actually went down from 260 million in the previous financial year to 255 million in the financial year 15-16. And these are the three main sources of revenue of the organization. I think the first line is our official allocation that we receive from National Treasury or from the Fiscus through the Department of Social Development. As we can see, the allocation increased from 178 million in the previous financial year to about 184 million in the financial year 15-16. The second stream of revenue, which was the grant, the conditional grants that we have mobilized. These are the grants that we mobilize in terms of the resource mobilization strategy of the organization. Mostly these funds we obtain from Provincial Department of Social Development and other partners where we implement development programs on their behalf. The third source of revenue for the financial year, we had other income of 9.8 million in the financial year 15-16 versus 10.5 million in the previous financial year. The other income is basically made up of the interest that we receive on bank accounts and the management fee that we that we raise on the funds that we mobilize. Where we can, then we will charge a small fee of about maximum 6% to implement programs on behalf of the people that would give us funds to implement programs on their behalf. The next slide I'll take you through in terms of now, how did we make use of the resources that were made available to us in the current financial year? In the current financial year, we had a total spending of 256 million, representing a spending of plus of 90% of the total budget that we had for the financial year. Of the 256 million, 163 million was spent on the mandate of the organization. That is the first four programs, which are capacity building, resource mobilization, advocacy, and research and knowledge management. This is where the 163.7 million was spent, and this is how it was spent as per the table below. In terms of the mandate programs, 163 million was spent in the current year on delivering on the mandate of the NDA as per the four programs that I've alluded to. In terms of the spending, during the current financial year, mandate made up 64% of the total expenditure of the organization. In the previous year, mandate, I think, was 65%. Then we, in terms of administration, we had spent 92 million. And if we take administration as a percentage of the total expenditure, administration during the year accounted for 36% of the total expenditure versus 35% in the previous financial year. In terms of slightly more detail on the how we have spent the resources in terms of the almost per program, I'll start first with the mandate of the organization. As I've indicated, we've spent 163 million on the mandate of the NDA. In terms of key performance, in terms of those programs, in terms of disbursing funds to civil society organizations.
Excuse me, can we indeed focus on the task in front of us and leave other things? They are not going to, nothing can stand between us and this program. Our full commitment is here. So thank you very much.
Thanks, Chairperson. I'll continue. In terms of disbursing funds to funded civil society organizations using both the NDA's own allocation and some of the resources that we have mobilized from other partners that have given us resources, during the current year we disbursed 66.2 million to funded programs versus 75 million in the previous financial year. In terms of program implementation costs, we had spent 39 million versus 30 million in the previous financial year. On the capacity building of CSOs, we have spent 55.7 million versus 65 million in the previous financial year. In terms of the capacity building, 15.2 million of the 55 million was in terms of the budget that we had from our own allocation. The rest, which makes up about 40 million, was funded from the resources that we mobilized from other government departments, including provincial departments of social development. So in that current financial year, 40 million out of the 55 million was funded from funds that we mobilized from other government departments, mostly provincial DSD. In terms of research and knowledge management, a total of 2 million was spent versus a previous year expenditure of 4.8 million. Okay. terms of the last program, which is administration, under the administration, I think overall in the management of expenses, the organization continues to implement cost containment measures. I think there we are forced to manage our budget closely because the resources are increasing below inflation. As a result, our administration expenses we only managed to keep them to an increase of 6%, which is below inflation. Mainly, some of the savings were due to savings from unfilled vacancies and efficiency savings in the overhead that we've come about as a result of implementing cost containment measures. I think in terms of the financial report, that's it. Actually, in terms of the income statement, maybe just quickly, I'll take you through our balance sheet, which is on page 21. But the notation relating to that starts on page 22. In terms of our balance sheet, the biggest asset in our balance sheet, or in terms of total assets, we have total assets of 130 odd million, but in terms of current assets, we have current assets of 105 million. The current assets, biggest portion of the current assets is made up of the bank and cash balances amounting to about 105 million. How is this cash made up? Or where is this cash committed? In terms of the cash, I think 34 million of the 105 million is funds that we're managing on behalf of third parties that we have not yet implemented or finished implementing by the end of 31st March, which programs we are continuing to implement in this current financial year. So as at that year, we were holding funds to the value of 34 million on behalf of the partners that have given us some money in the previous financial year. Other current liabilities, we have current liabilities such as our payables, such as employee benefits to the value of 21 million. Also included in the funds that have been committed, we still owe 32 million to funded projects. These funds are being dispersed in the current financial year as we are finalizing the disbursement of these funds to projects. And a portion of that, about a million, is committed in terms of after the implementation of a project or midway through implementation, we will go and do a midterm or a closeout evaluation to evaluate the impact of the projects that have been funded, whether they've made the impact that they were supposed to make in the communities. And there's about 15 million of funds that are not committed from the total cash balances of 105, some of them partly due to savings in the previous financial year. In terms of the second part of the balance sheet, which is our current liabilities, our current liabilities are amounting to about 55 million. They are made up of, I think the biggest portion of it are those funds that I spoke about that we are managing on behalf of third parties. These funds we cannot recognize them in the income statement as they are received because they are treated as a conditional grant. They will stay in the balance sheet until we spend them, then they move to the income statement. Our payables, which is money that is due to creditors for services that were rendered, that were accrued as at the end of the financial year, 12 million. Employee benefits, as I've already indicated, which are basically our leave pay, provision for leave, and provision for 13th check in terms of those employees that have elected to have a 13th check built into their salary. And we have provision for project payment. These were funds that were approved for payment at the end of the financial year, but they were not disbursed, but were disbursed just immediately after the end of the financial year. In terms of the balance sheet, those were the highlights in terms of what are the main amounts in our balance sheet, and that concludes the presentation on the financial report, Chairperson. Thank you.
Thank you very much. What I can acknowledge now, wishes of a relief to us as members of the Portfolio Committee, is that you have appointed. Am I correct? Oh, yes. CEO. So now, at least, there is a milestone. I will allow members to put their hands up here. Mama Bev, you have Mama Wilson. That arrangement.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. Yes, I'd also like to make a few comments and questions. I've noted that NDA have an automated management system for rewards. I'd like to know how they manage that, and for people that don't qualify for rewards, is it an automated thing that you also know that you can improve later? And also on the NDA brand recognition, I'd like to say well done on achieving your target from 70 to 95%. And then I also need some clarity on the employment, the vacancy rate against the approved staff establishment. How does that affect the actual staff establishment? Because the interns, are they temporary or do they get absorbed into the actual staff complement? Then in terms of the people with a disability, I also want to say well done. I am a person that supports disability 110%. So I'm looking forward to you achieving your target in the next financial year. 1.8 is, I think, is good. Then on page 62, I just want some clarity. What is the other income, the other grants, general expenses? Page 64, cash flow, other receipts, other payments, purchase other intangible assets, and what is bad debts written off? Just some clarity. Thank you, Chairperson.
Can I carry on, Chair? Thank you, Chairperson. I must, and a lot of these members were not here at the time, but the AG was with us all there. FFC were here, and I must tell you, they were not kind about the NDA at all. In fact, the information that they shared with us was quite alarming. We have a CEO in place. Do we have a CFO in place? Obviously not, because I've got blank looks, and the fact that we do not have an audit committee in this entity has had disastrous impacts on the NDA in terms of your financial management, your lack of reporting, not sticking to PFMA, non-compliance with procedures, non-compliance with acts. And the minister is here, and the report's in front of me. I can read them off. There's pages of them that we received this morning, pages of them that the AG and FFC raised. I do want to go into the annual report itself and deal with the figures, because that's where I think we get more information than we do on the reports. Reports are easy. But I just want assurance, Minister, because Minister Dlamini is sitting here, that these matters are going to be dealt with.
Take your time and make your point. We have made that time available for all of us.
Thank you.
So feel free.
So at this point, and I'm now speaking directly to the Minister, the facts and figures and irregular expenditure and things that were raised by the Auditor General this morning and the FFC this morning are alarming. It just goes to show that if you do not have correct organizational structure in place, you are going to fall off the bus. And as far as irregular expenditure, fruitful and wasteless expenditure, and the non-adherence to SCMs, PFMAs, all of those that were raised with us today, is indicative that there is no good organizational structure in the NDA, and it will carry on this way. The NDA is going to end up with a big problem that we're going to have to take further up the chain. And I just want an assurance from the Minister, please, that this is getting very serious attention. Thank you.
Any more, Jens? There are two questions now.
Honorable De Wit.
Thanks, Honorable Chairperson. As just going back to the AG's report again, and I'm going to be a bit pointed. The AG spoke to the strategic plan.
Honorable Whip, you are short. Your mic sometimes is above your head.
I'm tired. The AG's report spoke to the strategic plan and performance information that was not submitted to DSD, but you received a budget. So I think just speak to that anomaly. Because I thought that you were reviewing the model, and perhaps that had an impact on the strategic plan that was not handed in. But just speak to us about it. Then, your fruitless and wasteful expenditure. You have irregular expenditure. And we were given the amounts. And I'd like you to speak to, when it comes to your irregular expenditure or your fruitless and wasteful expenditure, what was it all about? Because we received the amounts from the AG too. And when it comes to procurement, goods and services with transaction values of below 500 were procured without obtaining a quiet price quotations. So I think to that you should speak to us too about it. And then when it comes to when it comes to the AG spoke to instability when it comes to key positions, but when it comes to the CFO was there since October 2015. The CEO also came in acting still, the CFO September 2015, and then the head of strategic planning came in since September 2015. And I think let's speak to the instability that the Auditor General is speaking about. Because they definitely say there was instability and it was rectified, but just discuss it with us.
The last one that you will add is the fact that can you take us to as to whether you once had a plan to devolve to districts, whether that is in process. Thank you.
Thank you, honorable members. Thank you, Chairperson. The CFO will come in some of the questions. In terms of the stability, that matter was raised by the Auditor General. But in the absence of the board, there was an interim accounting authority that was appointed to oversee NDA matters. And then I can assure the honorable members that there is a stability because the board was then appointed, which is the accounting authority for the organization. The chairperson of the board did indicate in her opening remarks that the next time she comes to appear before the portfolio committee, she will come with the CEO of the organization, which means that we are moving towards that stability. I must indicate also that there is an audit and risk committee for National Development Agency, which is formed by the members of the board. So So that is part of ensuring that there is accountability within the organization. And we do have the chairperson of that committee who introduced herself in the morning. And then over and above that, I must indicate, chairperson, that in terms of the key strategic positions that are vacant within the organization, is to indicate that the when the former CEO departed, also the former CFO departed, so left the organization. As a result, we had to appoint the acting CFO so that at least there is a continuity within the organization. And also the person who was responsible for the key strategic planning within the organization also left the organization. Hence, we got someone to relieve in that position. So I can indicate that the board made a resolution that the sooner the CEO resumes assumed duties, then the key strategic positions will then be filled immediately. I can assure this committee that before the end of this quarter, all those key strategic positions will be filled, because the process is in place. What has been outstanding was the actual appointment of the chief executive officer of the board. Regarding the irregular expenditure, in terms of the AG report, our hotspot where we experienced challenges was within SCM. I can assure this committee that there are processes that are currently being taken by the acting CEO to ensure that that matter is managed in terms of the disciplinary processes where we have identified that there are challenges. That's where our challenges were in terms of the SCM processes. Maybe as we come to report on the progress, we can share with the committee how far are we managing that matter. But disciplinary processes have started. We are investigating some of the matters where there were irregular expenditure as far as this matter is concerned. And we are also even investigating how best we can resource our SCM processes to avoid these challenges that we have experienced that are appearing in the AG report. In fact, by the time the AG identified those errors, we have already picked up that there's something that we need to do as management to manage that process. I think I've covered those key issues. I think in the next quarter, when we appear to this committee, the committee will realize that there is a stability. I think I've covered some of the issues that would have been covered by the CFO largely. Thank you, Chairperson.
Can I say something on the districts?
Oh, yes. Okay. Lastly, I forgot that one, Chairperson, regarding the districts. In our last meeting when we were here, the committee made a commitment to invite National Development Agency so that we share with you our business case. I was happy when I looked into the report that was presented this morning by the Fiscal Commission, because they did highlight our new strategic position as the National Development Agency. We would like to come and present to you, because part of that process, it includes a National Development Agency decentralizing its services to the communities. Remember, our primary mandate is to contribute towards poverty eradication, and poverty is within the wards. And where we have prioritized our services is within the Migonzo wards, which are the most deprived wards in terms of the poverty index. So I think we can share with you more with regard to that, but we have prioritized one district, per province, and the process has started. And even in terms of our current annual performance plan, the move is towards that direction, and will then ensure that our service delivery is strengthened and optimized. Thank you.
I think there was a question directed to Uma Dlamini by Uma Mawulsingi. Uma Mawulsingi.
Thank you, Chairperson. I think we must congratulate the acting CEO for trying to ensure that everything is in order in NDA. Secondly, for trying to make the structure at the head office linear, because there are positions that have been taken as very senior, but they were brought down so that there could be more budget for the programs of NDA. And then thirdly, as she has said, by the end of this quarter, I would have gone through the interviews that are very important. But also when it comes to decentralization, what we have seen is that a government gives money to NPOs, NGOs, cooperatives, without incubating them and giving them organizations that are going to mentor them. And amongst the roles of the offices that have been opened in various districts, the most important part is to ensure that where government puts money, that money is not lost. Because actually when I came to social health development, there were projects that we paid for, or that were paid for before we were there. And when the committee visited the projects, they could not find them. So one of the best ways of ensuring that your people are trained and also understand their responsibilities is to have people that are going to be with them at all times. And then lastly, Chairperson, yes, I can see there are issues that have been raised by the Auditor General. But we got an unqualified audit. And the way it's put, it's like it's very bad, 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 bad. I'm not saying that we are not going to look into those issues. But it should also be noted that we've got an unqualified audit under the circumstances. And also, it's true, we've been trying to come up with a program that will not be similar to all other organizations that are there in government, and so that people did not see the need for the existence of a NDA. And I think that is what the CEO tried to deal with. And I really feel that we are moving towards the correct direction. And yes, correcting what the recommendations of the Auditor General, we are committed to doing that. Thank you.
Program.
But I do want to say I fully agree that you stabilized the department. I mean, the entity. That is the honesty. But also because I've been around for some time as a South African, not necessarily as this member. I know that the issue with NDA, it was not a departmental baby. It was supposed in its establishment a national development agency in Pretoria that would be funded by all departments so that it plays the role of a development in various making interventions. But I think because of this weakness in the IGR, Honorable Minister, intergovernmental relations, department chose and municipalities after that, they had their own. Each province had their own, municipalities developed their own, and then the location of NDA became a little bit of a problem because it was now, if it goes to Mzimkulu, there will be an agency for the municipality doing their thing and NDA unable to move forward. But now I'm taking this history not necessarily to say there are no issues, but to say I urge the members that given that the CFO is coming tomorrow, then the CFO is going to populate the organogram, especially on the new way you're thinking, that is of devolving to lower structures. And therefore, I think we should commend that you continue do this work, and also to say to the members today of the board, you are very welcome, and the issues we're raising are not for us undermining your work or unable to appreciate what you have already put in place, but we look forward to the new annual report that we will be making to ensure that all what we see as concerns, once we are at that stage, we will eradicate the weaknesses and add more on strength. On the part of the DSD, there's still a very rough road ahead, given that there are so many, Honorable Minister, so many interventions and initiatives when you try to deal with something. And we appreciate to know that this particular department was not based on a particular act, but it was based on a need. So that need still exists, and then we look forward to getting the report from that review of the white paper. We will sometime invite those people who are responsible, listen to it, and then be ready for you bringing in a bill, a draft bill, so that we work towards bringing all the pieces. And we have made notion in a very good spirit, Honorable Minister, to say to the department, we know it is difficult because each DG is not above other DG. They are all at the equal level. For this coordination of outcome setting, because outcome setting, you can't do it alone, because some other things come from other departments. So if other departments are not immediately responding to come to that particular meeting, that is to combine how many jobs we have created, because you don't create jobs, but you compile, you consolidate what has been done. I mean, you do your own work, but the consolidation is beyond your own boundaries, and you depend on the arrival of that information. So the issues of IGR are critical, and we're happy we have learned from Parliament that there's going to be
an act that is going to enforce the AIGR principles so as to be able to be more coordinated. So this long day, having received these documents, for this time I was able to read indeed, and indeed I read. I can, if you were at, you, I was a student, I would say, I'm showing you my slate. I really worked on this work. I'm on top of issues today. You can see, I was actually picking matters up for ensuring that we, when we meet, we're not actually doing a disservice to yourselves. Because if we are not interrogating issues, we will leave you believing that you're doing good work. And we will all be not doing doing a disservice to South Africans. With these words, I want to thank all the members having participated in this annual report. But tomorrow at 10, we are meeting to deal with SASSA. The detail must be given by the... By the way, I must apologize. I did not apologize for the secretary of the portfolio committee. She fell, and she has a fracture on the ankle. And she's been phoning and trying to ensure that everything is in space, not trusting anyone. Saying, have you sent messages? Have you booked the venue? So it continued that way. So her passion for the work was still...